So there is different places, and I'm trying to encourage everybody to go for the best one, go for the highest in God, because that's what he wants. He wants us to get the highest. All right. Amen. Now all your mics are working. So let's have some feedback or some input. What do you think?
Can everybody hear me? Daniel, I just want to thank you for this word. It really ministered to me and blessed me. I too have a desire to be part of what you're speaking, and I just hope that the Lord can do in me what you're talking about, that he can change my heart and bring me into that. I just have a desire to do it. Sometimes fear takes me over, but the Lord is good. Thank you very much for this word again, and that's all I got to say.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it. Great. Who else? Come on now. I know your mic's working. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay. I'm going back to my son again. They are truly walking in the man-child, as Dan was talking about. They live for Christ daily. They have no fear. They have come out of the world system and totally depend on God for every need that's met for them. They have no insurance, medical insurance. Not, I'm saying that everyone needs to do that. We're not there yet, Bill or I, but we're striving to get there. They have just totally, for the last 10 years, have been a blessing to Bill and I, that I look at them and think, you know, living in Mexico where they live and preach on the streets, no fear. They're going to India, no fear. They listen to God, and God, like the Bible says, blows them like a leaf and wherever they need to go. And they have three children and one on the way. And to see that obedience to God, and they will not waver at all on the company they keep, the music they listen to. They haven't had TV in 10 years. Waiting in line yesterday at the border to go over, you know, it's such a long line. He was reading his Bible. He speaks the word. He talks the word. They raise their children that way. It's just a blessing to me. And Dan, that's exactly what you're talking about. And I see that in him. And Bill and I are just striving to get to that point. You know, we have got the leaven out of our house. We are totally, God is our number one. We've lost a lot of friends, a lot of family members. Lost all, Bill is saying. Again, Dan, have to try not to be mean to anybody. And, you know, I think we all go through that as we come out, trying to point the finger at other people. And my son has really told me to point the finger and showed me in the Bible to point the finger at myself, to look at my sins and what I need to change, and open my heart and see where I still need to come before God and get closer to my cross. And that's what I'm striving for, is to totally be obedient to God, because we can do it now, or like Dan says, there will be a time when that time is gone, and we will be in another group, either the wilderness, where we won't have that chance anymore. And we need that, you know, we need to do that now. Today is the day, the Bible says, you know, to make those changes and stay in prayer with God. Never cease from praying. And I'm really blessed that I've had my son to witness and to pray and to show me, because we had no one else. So that's been just a blessing for us. And, of course, Dan and Steve and some really good people that we have to fellowship with, because that truly is all we have right now. And so Just want to say, you know, it is possible, and my son is doing it with a family, and it's, you know, so it can be done, you know, through the will of God, not on your own, to rest and do it in God's rest, to totally submit to Him, and then you start seeing these changes happen, and it's just amazing, and I just praise God for that, and so that's just what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing, Karen. That's wonderful. Wonderful. I want to answer John's question here. She said, she asked, hang on a second, I got to turn this down. In the case of stars of heaven are not angels, she's asked if the stars that the dragon's tail pulled out of heaven are they not fallen angels. And I'll put this up here so we got the scripture here. Oops, I put it up twice, sorry. As tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast into the earth, as the dragon stood before the woman, which is ready to be delivered for the vow of the child, okay? I've heard all kinds of preachers say that was the original, a third of the angels fell with Lucifer back in eternity past. There's no doubt that the angels fell with Lucifer, that's what the Bible teaches, but you can't use this scripture for that. Because this is all happening at the end times. This is all going on right now. Well, right now we're in the near future. His tail's drawn a third of stars heaven now. The angels fell. First of all, it wasn't his tail that drew him. Lucifer wasn't in the form of the dragon back in eternity past. He was an angel of light. He was Lucifer. You know, the Bible says he was an angel. He was a covering cherub. Before he fell, he was a covering cherub. He was beautiful. He was one of God's greatest creations. He was the most powerful creature in the entire universe besides God. He had the highest position of authority except for God. He was a covering cherub. Okay? So when he went down as a cherub, and the angels followed him because he was a cherub. You know? So this is different. In the end times, he's seen as a dragon with seven heads, which has to do with the political authority he's been given. That matches the beast has seven heads. Same kind of thing. As the beast is the image of the dragon. And all these things have, the seven heads had to do with the authority this creature has been given to make world kingdoms over the years. Okay, so when it comes time when his tail is pulling out the stars, I believe that's God's people, not the angels back in eternity past. Okay, that's the reason I believe that. Okay? It's all this is taking place at the end times. You know, plus when he took the angels with him, he was taking them as a cherub. He had not yet fallen. He went down as a cherub, as a beautiful angel of light. He went down, and they followed him in that condition. He wasn't the dragon pulling him down with his tail. Can you understand that? He became the dragon afterwards. He became ugly afterwards after he fell. So that's why I reject that whole idea that's the scripture. That's why the timing of the scripture never made sense. That's right. And many preachers use that verse because that's the only verse there is, really. I mean, the Old Testament says he fell. And the New Testament says angels fell, you know, but doesn't say how many. You know, that's the only place it says a third. That's how they get that. They need that verse to support that doctrine. And I'm not saying that doctrine's wrong. I'm just saying that's the only verse that really supports it. You know, everything else is sort of implied or you got to figure it out. You know, the Old Testament just says they fell, and New Testament just says many of them fell. Doesn't say how many. That's the only verse that says a third. Now, I probably is a third. I have no doubt about that. You know, but doesn't matter how many there were. Elijah said there's more for us than against us. When he remember when the servant Elijah, I think it was, Elijah prayed for God to open the servant's eyes. There was going to be attacked. He said he saw all these angels and chariots on the hill. He said there's more for us than against us. Open this man's eyes, Lord. And the guy saw, you know. So however many angels fell, there's more that are for us than against us. There's more that didn't fall, right? That's all you need to know. Okay, who else wants to say? Anybody else got anything you want to share?
Can you hear me? As Karen was speaking, that was so beautiful, Karen. And it's far few and in between that we, if we even have the privilege to meet someone like that. It made me think that a couple scriptures came to my mind, that I love you so much, Lord, that nothing shall offend me. And the other one was, when the Lord tells us to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then we will be able to love others as we love ourselves. And unless we love the Lord more than anything or anyone, and that is our desire to please Him and walk in His will, it is line upon line and precept upon precept that we come into that. Like Dan was saying, we we desire to do that, and it has to be God that gives us the grace to do that and fill our heart with the love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we walk in, I know we've all experienced this, I'm sure. We're just walking in the Spirit, and things come in our life, and we just handle it so beautifully and allow the Lord to do it just right. And I'm telling you, you can turn around the next few minutes and just say something stupid or do something wrong, and you say, Lord, how could I do that? You know, I'm love you, I'm full of you, and desire to walk in your Spirit. And then we just flop right down in that carnality of that flesh. But we are desiring to do that, and God knows our hearts. He puts that in our heart to desire Him and to live all of the Word of God. And that was just so beautiful and just a great story there, to know that we just keep going to where we just love Him so much that we will be able to come up here and sit with me in heavenly places and walk in the Spirit. And it is a process, but we're on the right path. So thank you for sharing that. It was so beautiful, and the teaching was excellent. I didn't get all of it, Dan. I understand what you were saying, especially what it would all boil down to, the 12, four different types of Christians in Revelation 12. All the rest didn't fall in line, but I'm listening and getting the gist of it, but I know the bottom line of it. So I think that's why we are here on these rooms, your room and Steve's, because we're just hungering and thirsting to live in the presence of God, in the truth in the presence of God.
How many of you guys were in Steve's room last night? At the end, somebody was talking about Paul Washer. Somebody's going to start typing about eternal security and said we should listen to Paul Washer and all that stuff. And then somebody else said that Paul Washer was a good teacher, but he preaches eternal security. And then somebody else said, but it's a different kind of eternal security, you know. And I think Steve said, yeah, it's a different kind of security. Do you guys remember that? When anybody in the room when that was going on, do you remember that happening? I just want to say something, because I didn't feel to say it in Steve's room, because I didn't want to challenge Steve. I didn't want to start anything. It was near the end of the program, and he's getting ready to pray, and I just didn't feel it was time. And I wasn't sure I was going to say anything tonight either. But I do want to say this, Paul Washer, and I have nothing against a brother at all. I'm sure he's a good brother. But his doctrine of eternal security is no different than anybody else's. He's not different. Most of these greasy grace preachers, what they're saying is, you should love God and obey God. But if you can't love God or won't obey God, it's no big deal. Because once you're in grace, you can't be put out. Once you're put in the vine, you'll never get cut out. Well, Paul Washer is saying, you should love God and you should obey God. But if you don't, you're not saved. He's not saying it doesn't matter. He's saying you're not saved. A true Christian will love and obey God. And as such, a true Christian will never fall away. So what he's saying, what all these other people are saying, you could be a slouch, a scumbag, a liar, a cheat, everything else, and still be a Christian because of grace. Paul Washer saying, no, that's not true. You can't be that stuff. If you're that stuff, you're not a Christian. But if you are a Christian, if we can ascertain that you are a real Christian, then you are eternally secure. That's Paul Washer's message on eternal security. And it is no different. His eternal security message is no different than anybody else's. Now, his gospel message is, because he's saying you must really commit your life to the Lord, you can't be a slouch. All these people in churches are not saved. They never really got saved. There's a lot of things he's saying is right. It's good, you know, and it is different than everybody else in that realm, in that kind of preaching. However, when it comes down to eternal security, he ain't no different at all. He's exactly the same. Because once he can ascertain you're a Christian, he will tell you you'll never be lost. So, in my view, that defeats the whole purpose. Because whether you're out there blatantly giving people an excuse for a sin, or it's more subtle, still, that same leaven is working. Eternal security is a leaven. It was the first lie. It came down in the garden. It's still deceiving man today. It's sending millions and millions and millions of people to hell. And anybody that's preaching eternal security, I don't care how good the rest of the gospel is, anybody that's preaching OSAS on top of that is defeating their own purpose. Because sooner or later, that doctrine is going to work the leaven of laziness in you. Presumptuous. A lazy, presumptuous spirit where you don't have to really press in. So I just wanted to say that. I'm not trying to bust on Paul Warsher. But I tell you this, his OSAS doctrine is no different than anybody else's, okay? It's no different. And in the end, he's going to find out he's defeating his own purposes. Because even though he's telling people, you really got to be saved, you just can't make a profession of faith. You just can't walk to the altar and say the four steps of salvation. You really got a relationship with Jesus. Even though he's saying that's good compared to what the rest of the people are saying in that realm. Still, in the end, he's saying, once you do have that relationship, once you really have become a Christian, you can't lose it. And in the end, it's going to produce the same garbage that all the other people are producing. It's the same lie. It's going to produce the same kind of junk that the other people are producing. It just won't do it as fast. Okay? Because they're telling the other people, just go out and sin. They're just telling them right up front, ahead, you go out and sin. He's not saying that. But at the end, it's still the same message. If you sin, if you end up like that, because you were a Christian, you can't be lost. Okay? I just want to make that clear that in my view, his security doctrine isn't any different than anybody else's. And in the end, he's going to find out he's been defeating his own purpose. Because he does do a good job in clarifying that all these people in churches aren't saved. They have a false salvation, or they just said the four steps of salvation, not really following God, they don't have a relationship with God. It can't be a past thing. It's going to be a present thing. And that's all true. That's great. And that's more than most people do it. However, when you turn right around, put eternal security on top of that, in the end, you're going to defeat your own purpose. I guarantee it. So I just want to share that with you. Now, I don't want to bust on anybody or bust on that preacher. I'm not trying to do that. But I want to warn people, he is no different when it comes to that. He is different when it comes to the general presentation of the gospel, because he's called for true repentance that's real, that produces a real Christian. But he's still saying once you are a real Christian, once a real Christian has been produced, that person can never fall away. Do you understand what I'm saying to everybody? I just didn't want to say it yesterday in that room because we're near the end, we're ready to pray, and it was just open a can of worms that wasn't necessary. But you're in my chat room now, so I wasn't sure she can say it, but I do. I want to say it because God wants the truth spoken. Okay, go ahead, Karen. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay, I have a question. If you achieve in the flesh to be an overcomer now, do you think you could fall away when you get to that point? That's my question.
That's a good question. As long as we have the flat body, as long as we're in this body, it's possible to fall away because sin is in our blood. It's not just we have a sin nature. It's just not that we're raised in an environment that causes us to sin. Sin is in the blood of Adam. The sin is passed down from generation to generation, not just through a nature, but through the blood. And as long as you have a physical body, you have a potential of falling away because the old man, I don't care how dead he becomes, he's still there. Now, there's a difference between, some people preach the old man's gone. You get to a place where you overcome the old man so much that he's actually gone. He's been circumcised. There's a false doctrine out there that talks about circumcision of the heart. And these people believe their heart's been circumcised and the whole sin nature's been cut out, and so they can't sin. Now, of course, this is stupid because, I mean, you can point your eyes all over the place and see they're sinning. So how can somebody walk around and say, I'm not sinning when you are? But anyway, they do. They get blind. They believe this doctrine. And the whole thing is God circumcises your heart, and it takes the sin nature away. And that's garbage, okay? The sin nature is always going to be with us. We can have it completely underfoot, completely conquered. There's a place we can have it completely conquered, but it's still there. And it will be there till our bodies are changed. So I feel as long as you have a body, you have a sin nature in your blood, there's a possibility you can fall away. However, I also believe that if you become an overcomer, I don't believe you will. I just don't believe you will. Possible, yes. But will you? No. It was possible for Jesus to fall, wasn't it? It was possible for Jesus to fail. If it wasn't possible for Jesus to fail, then his whole life was a joke. The Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, when he sweated drops of blood and tears and all that stuff, all his temptation, that's all joke. It's all joke. Jesus could have fallen. Jesus could have failed, but he didn't. Okay? I think once you get to a place where you're overcoming like that, you're in a man-child, and you're walking that kind of life, you can fail, but you won't. Can I say it like that? Go ahead.
That makes me think of like Wycliffe and Tinsdale and Polycarp and even the disciples and many of our brothers and sisters all around the world that they go through terrible, terrible tortures and what happens to them, and they stand up and right in the face of all of it and show them love, and God gives them the grace to go through all that they have to go through. that book of the martyrs, I mean, you read all of that, and what people stand up against is God's grace.
Amen. You know what? I also think that they're going to be overcomers. Because the prerequisite for being an overcomer is you love not your life unto death. And so if you're really following God, and you're one of those martyrs, you know, Tyndale and all those people, they didn't know anything. I don't think they knew anything about the high calling. I really don't. The revelation of the high calling of tabernacles, or what we're talking about, came forth at our time. It didn't come forth in that time. They had their job to do. They had their revelation that God gave them. They were faithful to it. But the prerequisite for becoming part of that overcoming coming, becoming part of the man child, is if you're walking in faith in Jesus, if you lay down your life. And when people lay down life as martyrs, as physical, literal martyrs, they lay down a life like that, I think that puts them in the first fruits company, puts them into the first resurrection with those of us who overcome. It's to lay down your life, either your physical life or your Adamic life or both. You know, so I'm not talking down. I'm not talking down against Tyndale or any of the people saying, no, we're overcomers, but they're not. You know, anybody that loses their life for the gospel's sake, who's walking in Christ, they might have the same kind of light, they might not have the same kind of revelation we have, but that doesn't matter. If they're obeying God in the light they have, in the walk they have, they're going to be part of that group. It's not just for the end time people. What I was just saying was that the woman's a picture of the end time church. I'm not saying that nobody else can be an overcomer except those who live in the end times, you know. The picture of the woman of the church in these last days. But everybody who's actually laid down a life for God in that kind of way will be part of this. Because that's what it takes. Love not your life to death. Physical or Adamic or both. That's the prerequisite. Right? So, amen. I don't sound like I'm trying to promote a little exclusive group of only end time saints here. I believe Abraham's going to be the first resurrection if I make it. And all the other heroes of the faith. But that picture of the dragon and the woman, all that's what's going on at the end times. That doesn't exclude everybody else. That's just a picture of what's going on right now for us. Because we need to know it. We're going to be living through it. Who else? Who else has something? Amen. It's been an ongoing process since the beginning of God's plan. Okay, I'm going to thank you for coming. God bless you. Okay, that's good. Right? I didn't think you were y'all, but just in case. Sometimes I say things and I don't make myself clear. I assume people know what I'm talking about, you know, and then I can find out that maybe I should explain myself here or there a little bit more. You know, a wrong thought gets across, not because you're wrong, but because I didn't make it clear. Right. Okay, Yella, go ahead. Hang on. You got the mic.
No, Dan, I didn't think anything about what you said. Those were just thoughts that came to my mind. I never even gave that one thought what you just said. I knew you weren't trying to say that or make us think that. That just came to my mind. I just threw it in there. It was an extra, no charge.
Okay, great, good, great. I'm glad. That's my gift of suspicion working again. I got that gift. Okay, who else? Anybody else have anything you'd like to share? What's God doing with you this week? The Heart of Church System, that's the one up on Steve's site. Newbold, right? Yeah. I read that about 3 years ago. Pretty good. My wife and I are leaving at about 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, so I might make it an early night. And, yeah, Karen, we're going to be seeing you. Okay. Thanks, Jim. Glad you came. We're just taking a week off and driving down south. I'm going to hit a couple places on the way down to see some people on my mailing list. And then going up in Texas. Oh, that's what I was going to tell you. I'm glad I remember this. We won't be on next Saturday. Okay, we'll be back till Sunday. So next Saturday there will be no Zion's Trumpet Fellowship Hall. Sorry. I'm going to put a message up my website tonight before I leave. I wish I had said it before anybody left. Sorry. I should have made a note about that. I wanted to tell everybody at the very beginning, but I didn't. Anyway, if anybody writes here, you know anybody, tell them, let them know that we'll be back on next Saturday. We won't be back till Sunday. So, thanks for the good wishes. I hope it's a nice trip, too. I believe God's sending us sort of a ministry trip. So, I believe he wants done, will get done. That's all I can say. Go ahead, Yellow.
Can we pray for you? I'm sure we can. Father, we just come before you in the precious name of Jesus, Lord. And we just thank you for all the brothers and sisters that are in this fellowship that come, Lord. And we just thank you that we're here to learn of you, and we can bless each other and encourage each other. And we just, we're thankful, Father. And Lord, we lift up Dan, and we just thank you for the love that he has for you and all the time that he's spent in your word just listening to you, Lord, and learning, and that he's able to speak forth your words, Lord, and teach us. And we're thankful for that, Father. And Lord, we thank you that you raising his mother up and restoring her health back to her, Lord, and we give you thanks for that, Lord. And as Dan and his family travel to Texas, Lord, we just pray that you'll put a hedge of protection around him. We know you will, Lord. Just keep him safe and protect him, and just give them safe arrival and a safe return, Lord. And just let the path be made smooth for them, Father. And Lord, on his ministry trip, Lord, we just pray that your words, the seeds of life that give life to people, Lord, will fall on good ears and good hearts, Lord. We pray that much fruit will come from his travels, Lord. So just bless him and keep him safe and protect him, Lord. And just meet every need that they have along the way. And let them enjoy each other's company and just have a good time of rest and relaxation in you, Lord. And we just pray that there'll be no travel emergencies on the road, but that the trip will be smooth and it will go well, Father. And we give you the thanks, Lord, and we praise you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. Thanks a lot. You can all keep me your prayers if you want. You can always use prayer. Perks is looking forward to hearing about your trip getting back. Yeah, I'll tell you what I can. Amen. Okay. Well, so next Saturday, no session. And the next Saturday after that, we'll be sure and be on. Okay? And if you want to ask, you know, if anybody want to contact me, I have my computer with me so I can still check my email. So if anything comes up, you can still email me or talk to me. All right? So I appreciate everybody coming. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you when we get back. See you next time. God willing, the river don't rise. Good night.